Welcome back to another episode of Blessed Is She That Believed. We are in season 4, episode 45. And I have titled this episode Small Beginnings, and I'm going to explain why in a minute. But before we get started, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, Father God, that we can come to your presence. We just thank you for your glory. We thank you for just everything that you are to us. You are our provider. You are our comforter. You are our protector. You keep us, Father God, even in the times that we don't want to be kept. And Father, I just thank you for your word. And I thank you for every heart, every ear that listens. And I pray right now that your word just be planted within their hearts and minds right now. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. All right, y'all. So to all my listeners out there, I am live on Facebook right now, and so my Facebook people are watching as I am recording this episode. So this episode will drop tomorrow, at midnight. I'm always like, tomorrow, midnight, whatever. You know what I mean. So it's going to drop at midnight. So in a couple of hours, this episode will be live, and you can tune in on any platform. Also remember that you can email me at blessedisshe@gmail.com. Bless it. You can email me with any questions that you may have, any prayer requests that you may have. So I don't know about y'all, but I hope y'all had a great Valentine's. Even if you are single, I hope you had a great Valentine's. Anyway, this has by far been the best Valentine's that I have ever had in my entire life. Like, I used to hate Valentine's Day. I hated it because of the fact that it was like, it wasn't because I was single necessarily. It wasn't that. It was more so of people who literally had just gotten in a relationship all of a sudden had all of these words of wisdom and advice. And it's like, dude, this is like your 15th relationship and we just started this the year. Like, what are you talking about? Like, just wait. God's going to send you somebody. Like, stop talking to me like that. Like, talk to me nice, but not like that. Okay, so I hated being stared at and looked at with pity. It's like, I'm not pitiful. I don't need your pity. I am a human being. I am by myself and I am okay. I promise you I'm okay. That was my main reason for not liking the holiday. But this year, actually for the past couple of years, it's like gotten better. And this year was just awesome. I actually had my birthday dinner that I was originally supposed to have the day before my birthday. It was rescheduled. So we turned it into a Galentine's dinner. And shouts out to Chef Matthew Rayford and Tia Rayford. I call them Uncle and Auntie. Okay. It's a long story behind that. But there's Unc and Auntie. And we went to their farm. And my girls, Courtney, Chelsea, Joy, and Terica, we all went and ate. We had a great time. And we had a ball. So that was Thursday night. And then yesterday on Valentine's, Courtney and I, we actually started a poetry collective called the Poet Society. And we had our first poetry den. And my mom doesn't know I'm live and she's sending me messages. Okay, mom. Anyway, so we had a poetry den yesterday, and that's actually where I'm gonna pick up with this, because yesterday during the poetry den I talked about how this got started, how the poetry den thing got started. And it started with my 11th grade American lit teacher, Miss Brenda Hunt. I don't know where Miss Hunt is. I think she's still in Brunswick, but I'm not sure. But I just want to shout Miss Brenda Hunt out, because it's because of her that this poetry den thing is established. When I was in her class, let's see, what year was that? That was 2002. I think that was the 2002-2003 school year because I was in 11th grade. So 2002-2003 school year. I know that's, let's not talk about how long ago that was. But let me tell you how much of an impact that year in English made for me. I still remember the novels we read. We read The Scarlet Letter. We read Jane Eyre, The Great Gatsby, Their Eyes Are Watching God, A Raisin in the Sun, and I can't remember what else, but those are all the books we read. I read every single one of those books. I read every single one of those books, and I mean, it changed my life. Like, I love to read anyway. Bibliophile, okay? Lover of books. I love to read anyway. Spaz out when I would go into a bookstore or something. Like, when I was a little kid, this is so embarrassing. This is so embarrassing. When I was a little kid, not a teenager, when I was a little kid, and my mom would take me to the bookstore, I would get so excited about the books, I'd wet my pants. That's how I was hungry to read. Like, I had a whole mountain of books under my bed. Like, I would reach under my bed every night and pull a book out. Like, I had so many books under my bed. It was crazy. Love to read. So my mom instilled that love of reading in me because my mother deals with dyslexia. So she hated to read. And of course, during the time period that she came up in, they didn't know what about dyslexia or anything like that. So they just put everybody in the group, that group where everybody knows that you need extra help and support. So she hated to read. And when she was pregnant with me, she did not want me to hate to read. She wanted me to love to read. And voila, I'm an English teacher who loves to read. So anyway, Miss Hunt was at Brunswick High. Go Pirates. It's an inside joke to everybody who's listening because it's like a small town rivalry. There are only two high schools and I work at the other high school now as an English teacher. I don't work at the high school that I graduated from. But anyway, so Miss Hunt had us reading all of these things. When we got to the poetry unit in her class, Miss Hunt invited us to come back to school one evening and she had a poetry den set up. I mean, she had a extra rug in there with like a microphone stand, I think, and pillows everywhere. She had a coffee pot with like cappuccino and little coffee cakes and stuff. It was so cool. And I don't think a lot of my classmates showed up. It was like maybe I say if 10, it might have been 10 of us, but that changed my life. And of course I stood up and did my poem, like one of my poems that I put in my book, I think. Like it changed my life. And I said, if I ever become a teacher, I said, I'm gonna do this for my students. And lo and behold, when I started working at the school that I am working at now, I started doing poetry dance. When we got to the poetry unit, I was like, oh my gosh, gotta do a poetry dance, gotta do it. And every time I did a poetry dance, my students love it. Some of them start freestyling, they wanna do rap and poetry. I have been able to invite some of my friends who are poets, like Courtney. I've been able to invite her into my classroom and she shares her poetry, and it's been so fun. And it's a scripture that I wanted to read from Zechariah chapter 4:10. Says, "For who hath despised the day of small beginnings?" And of course it goes more into, you know, I don't want to take it out of context, but it's like, if I could put it into, let's see if I can do this right here so I can read it in a different translation. says, who with reason despises the day of small beginnings? That's in the Amplified version. Like, why would you despise small beginnings? And yesterday, standing in front of a room full of people, we were sold out. We sold out of tickets. And my Facebook. Okay, there it is. We sold out of tickets for our event. The first day that we went live with the selling of the tickets, somebody bought like 6 tickets. It's like, okay, we're going to run out. And that's what happened. Like after 2 weeks of having the tickets up, they were going. And it's like, wow. And the place that we were in, our location was a little small. It was a little tight, but it was like, it's okay. And I think a lot of times when the Lord gives us, I believe the Lord gives us everything that we need. I mean, and I don't want to say it like there's any doubt. No, He gives us everything we need to do what we need to do. But the environment where we are currently doesn't match what He may have shown us. It doesn't match what we have seen and what we believe where we should be. It may be small, it may be ugly, it may be something that's not beautiful. You may have a yard that's unkempt and it's like, this ain't nothing to look at. But in Zechariah, he's saying, who with reason despises the day of small beginnings? With reason, who despises the day of small beginnings? Why are you despising where God is starting you from? You got to have a starting point. Everybody has a starting point. My starting point may not look like your starting point. Somebody else's starting point may not look like another person's starting point. And that's okay, because that's your starting point. Your starting point is a part of your testimony. Your starting point may be ugly. It may be something like not desirable. And when you think about it, we love a good Cinderella story, don't we? That's why we love the Olympics. I mean, we have the Winter Olympics going on right now. We love those Cinderella stories where it looks like this person shouldn't be there, but they beat the odds. And we love that for other people, but we don't love that for ourselves. No. We don't like that for ourselves. We want our beginning to be grand. But I feel like if God gave us the beginning that we thought we were supposed to have, we'd be just like a shooting star. Here today, gone tomorrow. God is in the business of building things that last, because only what's done for Christ will last. As the saints say, only what's done for Christ will last. And I also want to read in the message, it says, does anyone dare despise this day of small beginnings? Like, you got to be crazy and not your mind to despise where God is starting you from. I mean, we were so busy looking for, we got to have this big place because we're going to have all these. That's not where God had us start. God had us start where we started, and we were so grateful how everything fell in place. And that's the thing, like, when God has ordained you, when He has anointed you to do something for His glory, He provides you with everything you need. Nothing is lacking. Everything is there. We had everything we needed. Everything we needed was there. He provided everything. Even when things were a little cloudy, we just had to wait. We just had to wait and just see what He was going to do, and everything fell into place. It was a beautiful event, everything. And like I said, I told them about how, you know, it's your everyday life, your details, the details of your life that lead you to the bigger thing. Because when I started doing the poetry den in my classroom 5 years ago, you couldn't have told me that I would be doing this for adults. I never would have thought I was doing this for adults. I was like, I'm just doing this for the kids. But it was preparation. It was practice. Just like David was in the field tending to the sheep. God anointed David to be king of Israel, and David went right back to the field to tend them sheep. You have everything comes in God's time. He makes all things beautiful in his time. And if you rush the process, you're going to skip steps. And those are the very things that you need to know for when you get to where God is taking you. And I feel like a lot of us miss steps because we're so busy trying to rush and get to what we believe we should be, where we believe we should be, and what we believe we should be having, that we miss steps. I think that's why a lot of people end up in marriages. I mean, let's just be honest. It's like, okay, well, we want to be together, so let's just... Sometimes... Okay. Well, don't know. Maybe this is for me. I don't know. Sometimes, I honestly believe God could send you the person that you're supposed to be with, but you're not supposed to be with them at that time. You're just supposed to meet each other. Maybe establish a friendship. And that's it. And then go on about your business. Maybe there's sometime a separation there where you don't need to see each other. But I do believe that sometimes that people like, no, I want to be with this person now, but maybe there's some things that haven't been worked out. Maybe that person still needs to be healed, or they're going through a healing process and you need to wait. I actually know someone whom the Lord told her, do not marry him yet. Not that you couldn't marry him. Not that she couldn't marry him. The Lord just said, wait, they're not together anymore. You know, like, Just wait. I mean, just wait. But I think we do that in a lot of different areas. And then we end up in trouble. And the very thing that God was trying to bless us with becomes a burden. It becomes a curse. And God doesn't want that for us. He wants things to be done decently and in order. And we don't, because we can't see everything, because we're not omniscient. We're not all knowing. We're not all powerful. We're not, you know, we're just not. We're not everywhere. We're not omnipresent. We're not God. And so we think, we get in our little peon brains that we know better than God. I was one of those people. We believe we're better than, we know more than God. Like, I got this, God. I can do this. And then we mess stuff up. Like, oh, now I got to send her somebody else because she done messed that one up. All right, let's see if she gets it right this time. You know, like, is, don't despise the day of small beginnings. You may have nothing in your bank account. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. God is preparing you for something greater. He is preparing you for something that you could not even imagine. I am a living witness to this. Like, just like I said yesterday, standing in that room full of people, like, you don't understand. Like, Courtney and I, we did a vision board together. We got together, did a little vision board. I think it was the first day of the year. And we both agreed. We were like, we're going to leave Valentine's Day open because we're going to have a Valentine. We were like, we're going to have a Valentine. No, God had different plans for us. He had something better for us. And I mentioned that in a post that I created. You know what happens when you despise something? You kind of shy away from it. Well, most people do. Some people run right into it. I don't understand. But if you don't like something, you kind of shy away from it. You kind of keep yourself from it. And for a long time, Valentine's Day, I hated Valentine's Day. Like I said at the beginning of this podcast, I couldn't stand it. I was bitter. I hated it. And I would just stay in the house. I wouldn't go nowhere. I just listen to my music, whatever, and just mind my business until the holiday was over with. And for the last couple of years, I've been like doing some little things like dressing up, making myself look extra cute, whatever like that. Because I'm like, life is too short to just be sitting here every Valentine's Day. I'm gonna sit in the house like, no, but it's a small beginning. It's a small beginning. Like, why am I going to despise this time? Like, no. So I started putting myself out there, and all of the smiles I received, like, especially this week, my coworkers just kept telling me, oh my gosh, you look so cute. You dress so, like, I love your outfit. You're so Valentine. It put a smile on people's face. And I realized, like, how many years have I been depriving people of the sheer joy of seeing me dress cute, extra cute for Valentine's Day? Like, when you despise your small beginning, you're not allowing the Lord to use you to bless other people. You're not. You're keeping yourself from being used by God when you despise your small beginning. Think about it. You're praying and asking God to bless you with a family or something. I don't know. Get married or whatever. I don't know. And because you're mad about being single, because you're mad that you don't have a family or whatever, you refuse to go to baby showers and bridal showers. You refuse. But you have a gift of maybe being creative and decorating, or you have a gift of, I don't know, singing or something. And because you refuse to go to those events because you don't have what you believe the Lord is going to bless you with, because you don't have it, you sit at home and you're pouting, you're salty. And I get it. Like, I get it. Trust. I get that. So now it's like you're depriving people from being blessed by what you can do. And that's not cool. And I think about, like, if I would have gone into this year's Valentine's Day, like, I'm staying home, I'm not doing nothing, I would have never got the opportunity to start this Poet Society with a good friend of mine. I would have never had an opportunity to have a room full of people who also may be single and needed something to do to get them out the house to, you know, they would have, you know, not that they wouldn't have had nothing to do, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I was able to be a part of their Valentine's celebration and to bring other women who are also single and one married, you know, bring them together to have something to do on Valentine's Day to help fulfill purpose. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not about just how I feel. It's about how can God use me even though I am not feeling like I want to be you. I don't feel like doing that. I don't want to. It's not about your feelings. Like, get out your feelings. Like, why are you despising your small beginnings? Why are you despising where God has you right now? That's what I had to realize. And it what really hit me yesterday was I'm despising where God has me. I was despising where God had me, and I was refusing to be used by him. So that means that all of those years before, he had to get somebody else to do something that I was supposed to do. That was my responsibility. And I did not fulfill that because I was out of line. You see how, like, we still have to be accountable for what we do in this body, what we do and what we do not do in this body. We still have to be accountable for it. So yeah, it's crazy, but that's how it is. Like, if you just think about where you are, you may not be where you want to be. That's okay. God will use you right where you are. Just be a willing vessel, be open to be used by him. And you'll see, like, it was such a blessing. Like, I just think about, like, this whole week, like, it was such a blessing. Like, my students are like, Miss Cooper, you look so cute. Miss Cooper. Ah. And my coworkers, you know, and it's not about being, you know, the compliments are cool and stuff like that. But I was just like, man, Think about if I was just wearing like all black and frowning and stuff all week or whatever, you know, like, no, it was a blessing to see other people being happy that I was happy. And it was nice. So yeah, don't despise small beginnings. Also, there was another scripture that I'm trying to remember. Psalm 1:3. I don't know how I forgot that one because I know that one by heart. Psalm 1:3, it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And I also thought about this one today too, because when it's your season, there's no stopping it. Like, y'all don't understand. Okay, so let me back up. So I didn't know I wrote poetry, and I know that's gonna sound crazy. I didn't know I wrote poetry. So God used somebody back in 2022 to speak into me and call that out. Like, I'm not gonna get into too many details, but I know the Lord spoke to this person, because I never told this person I wrote poetry. Because at that time, it had been at least over 10 years since I wrote a poem. So I was like, I don't write poetry. You know how you do something and then you don't do it for a long time, you kind of forget that you do that. That's kind of where that was. So this person was like, let me read some of your poems. And I'm like, I never told you I wrote poetry, so how do you know I have poems? And he's like, it doesn't matter, just let me read some of your poems. I'm like, I had to dig in the archives of my phone to find a poem. And he was like, what are you going to do with that? And I was like, I don't know. So needless to say, in that conversation, this podcast was birthed. And didn't think about poems for a while. Didn't think about poems. It wasn't until maybe the following year, 2023, I started writing poems again. So I wrote poems like they were just bubbling. Just sometimes I would wake up in the morning and it's like I would hear a beat. I don't know where the beat came from. I'm not gonna say what I'm not, because I don't know at this point. The Lord has had me doing so many things. It's like, okay, that's what I'm doing too. Okay. But I would hear a beat. Never heard this beat before. Don't know where the beat came from, but I would hear a beat and the words would be going with the beat. They'd be going with the beat. Going with the beat. Da 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 da. And it's like, I just want to tell you, like, keep, if you are one of those people who like has dreams or whatever like that, keep a notebook and a pen or a pencil by your bed, because there has been at least 10 poems I know of that I cannot remember, because I was just in bed when I woke up like, what is happening? Like, why am I hearing music with words? Like, what is going on? And because I'm like just trying to figure out what's going on, I missed the whole thing. So I don't even know where those poems were. I can't even tell you what they were about. I can't remember anything. But I do know there have been several mornings I have woken up, I'm an English teacher and I still don't know. Anyway, I arrived out of sleep. I opened my eyes and it was like words were right here and I'm hearing the beat go with the words or whatever. And it was like that for a while. And then next thing I knew, something happened. Not getting into that. Something happened and boom. The Holy Spirit was like, okay, you got enough poems to put together for a book. And I'm like, a book? A poetry? I write poetry now? Because you got to understand. My first book that I wrote was like an autobiography. My second book that I wrote was a devotional. So, a poetry book? This is not what I've been writing, but okay. So, I go to my phone and I had like at least 50 poems. Because this book, Matters of the Heart, was put together in 2024, November 2024. So, by that time, I had like 50 poems. While I was working on Matters of the Heart, the poems were still coming. So, I had more poems for another book, which is where Soul Work came from. So, when I got finished with Matters of the Heart and did, and like this time last year, I had just did my first book signing, like my book thing, Matters of the Heart, at Brown Butter Shop when it was on 1304 Gloucester Street in Brunswick. When that book came to, when I finished publishing that book, I already had another book ready to go, Soul Work. So I basically released two books in 1 year. And it was like, what in the world? Like, I had no idea. First of all, I had no idea about Matters of the Heart. I definitely didn't know Soul Work was getting ready to be birthed out. Like, both of them came on the heels of one another. So it was interesting. And all I know is that was what God wanted me to do, because everything I needed to do, it was provided. He allowed me to get it done. A lot of people don't even realize I have Soul Work because I didn't talk about it too much, because it just happened so fast. It's like, I don't even know where this came from. And it was more so a book of poetry that I needed to write for myself. But needless to say, small beginnings. I don't know where these books are coming. I mentioned that several times on this podcast. I don't know where these books are coming. I don't know why I wrote these books. I don't know what is going to happen with these books. I don't know, but I just know I needed to be obedient to God and do it. A lot of times, God just wants to see if you're going to be obedient. Don't worry about what comes of the obedience. Just be obedient, because you don't know how he's going to use it later on. I don't know. I mean, I've been writing on my Facebook post since 2008. I found posts from 2008 where I said I'm gonna be a New York Times best-selling author. Maybe these books are gonna be on it. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just know God told me to write the books. Just like if God told me tonight, you write another book. Okay, what am I writing? It's just got, you gotta get to the point where instead of asking God why, you say, what do I need to do? Like, okay, so tell me how many steps am I supposed to take? Like, how do I need to get, like, what do I need to do first? What do I need to do first? And let me do that. Cause that's pretty much where I am now. It's like, okay, let me do that. I do still ask why in some areas. I'm like, okay. But you know, eventually I just kind of like, all right, let's just do that. Let me just be obedient and just do what you tell me to do. But when it's your season, your fruit, when you bring forth your fruit in your season, and the fruit isn't for you. The fruit isn't for you. The fruit is for other people to enjoy. Your leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever you shall do shall prosper. When Courtney and I were putting this together, I mean, we put it together in a month. Put this together in a month. God did that. I'm saying we put it together, but God orchestrated us to do this. I don't know why God wanted us to do this. I don't know why, but I don't ask those questions no more, because it's none of my business why. He knows why he told us to do this. He knows why he needed us to do this. And I'm just grateful that we were both willing vessels, and he allowed us to be able to do it. But it's amazing to me that he starts us all small because of seeds. You know, seeds are small. You don't know what a seed is going to turn into. We can't even fathom how those redwoods in California get to be so big when they start off as a tiny seed. Those trees are like, I don't even know how tall those trees get, but those are like the tallest kind of trees, I think, in the world. And they start off from tiny seeds. Don't despise small beginnings. Your beginning may be small, but I gotta find a scripture. Job 8:7. Job 8:7 says, though your beginning was small, yet your latter end should greatly increase. Though your beginning was small, your latter end should greatly increase. And now I have read the entire book of Job. I read the entire book of Job like a couple of years ago. It was crazy. Anyway, I find it funny that this verse is at the beginning of the book of Job. It's in Job chapter 8, verse 7. Job has like 40 something chapters. Okay. If you remember the story of Job, Job lost everything. He lost everything. I don't know about his wife. I don't know if he got a new wife. I don't know about her, but Job lost everything. He lost his kids. His health was declining. Like Job. Anyway, we'll have to do a whole study of Job or something, but this verse is towards the beginning of the book of Job. The book of Job has like 40 something chapters, like I said. God will give you a promise at the very beginning to get you through to the end. But you got to hold on to the promise, because the enemy going to come in and try and make the promise look like a lie. Because that's what the enemy does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal your confidence, to kill the promise, to destroy your future. That's what he does. That's his job. And so this was spoken to Job, and I don't know if it was spoken by one of his friends. Yeah, it was spoken by one of his friends. His friends in his speech. And he says, though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. That was a promise the Lord was speaking through this man. And Job went through all of this stuff. Job was dealing with grief. He was probably dealing with depression, bitterness, but he did not sin. He did not curse God to his face. He said, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was Job's testimony. And he stuck to it. Your beginning may look small, but your latter end should greatly increase. What we were a part of yesterday, what we got to witness yesterday, it's like, I don't know. It's like, I saw it and it was amazing. It was beautiful to see a room full of people packed to want to hear poetry and everything like that. And I'm like, but this is just the beginning. This is not where we're going to end. Like, this is just the beginning. We have people asking us, can we come to their location? Can we do it here? And we got somebody like, when you going to Savannah and Jacksonville? I'm sharing that because it's a lot of people. You may be an entrepreneur. Like, I'm an entrepreneur. My business is to design websites. Y'all know when the last time I designed a website? I hadn't designed a website since 2022. It's been like 4 years. Because God moved me. If I was stuck on, like, if I would have just been like, no, I need to design websites, I would have missed all of this. You got to be willing to go with the direction that God is taking you in. And I think a lot of people, we get stuck with, no, this is where I'm supposed to be, If you do that, you are going to stay small. How are you supposed to grow if you won't move? You know, you have to repot plants every so often, because there are some plants, they will die if they stay in that same pot. there are some plants you have to like put them in a bigger pot because their roots spread out and they need room to grow. They start dying if they stay in an environment too long. We're symbolized as trees in the Bible. Good in a good way and in a bad way. If you're disobedient, the axe is laid at the root. He got the axe at the root. If it's at the root, that means you're not gonna come back. Okay. But as we saw in Psalm 1:3, he shall be like a tree planted by water, living water. Like, we're considered plants. We're considered trees that grow. So sometimes God has to move us, uproot us from where we're comfortable so we can continue to grow, or else we're going to die in the environment that we were in. So that environment becomes too small for us. So that's why we shouldn't despise where God starts us off, because more than likely we're not going to stay there. He's going to move us. You just have to be patient, and you have to know that you're not going to be there always. God is not going to let you stay where you are always. That's not how he designed this to be. That's just not. Okay. I wasn't even going to be live this long on Facebook, but you know, here we are. So anyway, that is the podcast. That's this episode, and I'm done. I got to go think about what I just said, because that, I know that was the Holy Spirit talking to me. But yeah, so thank you for tuning in, people on Facebook, and thank you for people who are listening all over the world. Just a couple of things. Like I said, we're coming up on my 3rd year anniversary of Blessed Is She That Believe podcast. 3rd year anniversary is March 15th. So we're exactly a month out. I am almost at 5,000 downloads, y'all. Help me get to 5,000 by the 3rd anniversary. We got a month. Tell your friends. Tell your coworkers. Tell your family. Tell your loved ones to listen to Blessed Is She That Believe podcast. I want to hit 5,000 before the 3rd anniversary. I really just want to hit 5,000. So anyway, like I said, if you have any prayer requests, if you have any questions, you can email me at blessedisshethatbelieved@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram under the same name, Blessed Is She That Believe. You can find me on TikTok. You can find me everywhere under the same name. Go to my website. I think I updated it. I think you can catch me anywhere. Okay. So I hope y'all have a great rest of your Sunday. And I will talk to y'all later. Thank you for tuning in on Facebook. I appreciate y'all. Y'all are amazing. And